You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Well, I do hope you enjoyed that last hour. Do you want some more of the same thing? Let me ask you a question. Do you feel exhausted and drained? You're dying. What are you dying from? You're giving in to people, giving up to people, and looking for peace in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. And what you're looking for isn't there. It doesn't exist in the world. It exists in the world of, well, let me put it this way, Jesus-like people. They are around, but they don't know what they have. And so that to them, being calm and dignified and clear thinking is very rare. But it does exist by prayer, by the longing. If you have in your mind, what's life about? How many of you, when you were a little boy, a little girl, thought to yourself, what is life about? That's very simple or similar to the negative, where I spoke about the little boy who has the pull, a voice in him that says, something inside that's like a voice, says, you see that nickel on your dad's table or your 25 cents on the table? He won't see you. You feel the pull. And then you make the excuse. And then that sets the dynamic up for the rest of your life. It only takes that 1 minute. And therefore, sin is added to sin because you've been pulled away from your conscience, and your conscience follows you like a hound of heaven all the way to your grave. However, if I can find a person today, which are there many, believe it or not, has asked the question, what's life about? I tell you my experience with that. I can remember being a baby. I don't know how old I was. It could be 8 months, 9 months old. I had no language. No, just that, whatever that was. You know what I'm talking about. But I do remember one thing. Something said to me in not a language. So I can actually look back on that as it wasn't language. But I can explain it in language. And it would sound like this. What's life all about? It means he's put that question in my mind, intuitively. So when I came into the world, it was there. But I remembered it being before I could speak or understand. It was there, and it didn't nag. And every now and then it would come up. What's life about? But I can remember what I just said in concert with what I just said is that there was an answer to it. I almost forgot to give you the answer. So when God put that question in my mind before I could speak, so I could look back on it, but I can remember and translate it into English, which is my language. But I also can translate what God said. And he said, you will know. That's all. Now, this is the question. If I can find a person who has that, I can help them immediately. So who is out there? I just understood what I said. Do we have a commercial, David? And how many minutes do we have? 30 seconds. Well, let me give you the number. 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. Call me 6 to 8 West Coast time. 6 to 8 weekdays. Thank you. And the phone number, call me 800-866-8883. You got it. 800-866-8883.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, good evening. The last caller, I had a very delightful conversation. He says, how do you keep meditating unceasingly? Or the words that affect. So how many times you have to meditate? Well, the truth of the matter is you meditate unceasingly only because, you premeditate unceasingly with your endless loops of thoughts, don't you? And what does it do for you? It screws you up. There's another will operating through you that tries to do the right thing. But you don't know what right is. Only God knows what right is. Only He can steer you and give you the timing and everything. If you're not self-centered, you understand what I'm saying. If you're self-centered, you will decide what your future is. You will decide how you will go about it. You will make those decisions. No, you won't. You may win a little bit, and then lose a little bit, and then win a lot, and then never be satisfied to where you're going. Because if you make those decisions, and you're trying to write your own story, you're so self-centered, that sooner or later, you do not realize it, but every time you make a decision, and every time you set goals and achieve them, damned if you achieve them and damned if you don't. You cannot create your own life. You cannot do that. You can if you want to, and you should try. And you keep on trying till you break, until you fall apart, until you're miserable, until you're so frustrated you don't know where to go. The more you get, the more you want. And the more clever you have to be to get it. And you exhaust yourself. And so there's nothing left. So you don't even enjoy what you're doing and getting. No, I'm saying to you that there's another way. Thy will be done, and not what you think my will be done, on earth, as it is in Hades or in heaven. Which one do you want? There is no other choice. No man can serve two masters. You can't be good one minute and bad the next. You have a problem, and you have a problem because you haven't found the truth that sets you free. And you don't want to learn it mechanically. You don't want to be a actor on the stage. It's intuitive. I know what I know without knowing why I know it. That's how it has to be. I don't prepare a talk or lecture. I do not prepare for anything, but I can see the signs of the times. I can see when it's going to rain. You don't have to be a genius to see that. You can see the signs of the times, which I've been warning you for the last 55 years since I've been on the air. And maybe there's an opportunity for me to continue and get my 1,000 stations, which I need, before the terrible day of horror becomes America. See? You understand you elected the downfall of your country. Do you understand that? You did. Because there's more stupid people than good people. Maybe the stupid people are beginning to wake up and not to be so stupid. They go through a stupid side, a stupid period. We all do. And now you see the horror on the horizon, but do you really see the whole picture the way I do? It's the end of the world. That's what you've elected. Well, maybe good Lord has given you a certain person. And I can't tell you which one it is, but there's a certain person I like. And I think that person would be good for us. But I'm not going to tell you who it is, because that's not. We're in a 501c3, so I can't tell you what the person's name is. But, you know, I do hope he wins, or she wins. I'm not going to say which it is. But you should be smart enough to know, wouldn't you? I'm pretty much like that individual. I never stop. You know, you can't have your way with me. But I'm not more obstinate. Just you can't have your way with me. It's a good way, yes. I can agree with it, but it's not a good way. So what I'm going to try to get you to understand is how beautifully simple salvation is, and that you don't have to strive for it. It is waiting for you. And if you go to my meditation website, there's two of them. One has got all my web things on there. And that's FHU.com. FHU.com. The other one is called Antidote for All to Adopt. It is a site all by itself. Doesn't have anything on it except 7-minute meditation. I want you just to try that. 7 minutes of sitting quietly, like looking at your eyelids for a minute, and then causing your fingers to tingle just a little bit, and then you will get up and walk away. This is very simple, but I will help you cross the border from hell into heaven. That's all. You won't need your Bible, even though you could read it. It's good. But when you read it, you'll understand, oh, I saw that. Never saw that before. You put the book down. You don't want to study. You don't want to study it. You want to realize it. The realization has an extension beyond your wildest dreams. That moment, that perception can be so profound. Because he's showing you what he wants from you and how you should live your life. But you cannot live your life if you keep reacting. Sensitivity. Yes, here I am. If it's not going over the air, what good is it? Oh, okay. So let me give you. I've written many books, and so my son just came in and broke my trend of thought, but I think it's fairly clear. So I have a book that I've not put out very. It's called How to Conquer Suffering Without Doctors. And I want to read to you just a little piece of it. It's very similar to all the things that I say. Every one of my books has a way of saying it to you. I've got 15, 16 books out there. And everyone says something different about the same thing, different angles, hoping that one of those angles will catch you. And my program's the same way. But let me show you how this book opens. I'm going to give you the very first chapter. You listening? Okay, listen to this. You get a copy of this, but you won't find this book on the internet. This book is put aside. I've got thousands of them, but I've never promoted it. That's the reason. I have a reason for it. But let me just show you how it starts. The heading is, Are You Being Drained? You've heard me talk about that subject, right? And here it starts. A gradual depletion of life force is the root of all suffering. The illusion of life that leads to death was emotionally displaced soon after you came into the world. The gradual enervation of divine energy is the result of a spiritual separation from the original ground of being, substituted by a compulsive loyalty to the seducer's identity. It works like this. Your seducer, cruel as they may be, or syrupy liar that they are, upsets you for no good reason. They may not know what they're doing. And it therefore clones a loyal copy of themselves in you. You then unconsciously, without realizing it, give up the intuitive life force, and that's why you can't see it, that once served God or wanted to, with emotional energy of an animal. The seducer's spirit then lives off your spirit dying to them. By promising what it does not intend to deliver, they stress you with delusions of success, worthless worth, as if perfecting an imperfect self for themselves or for you. But such people live through your frustrations being tantamount to payment by way of depleting your life force. Slowly but surely you become less than an animal in conflict, trailing the potential of a human being. People grow on you like fungal cancer. They can also get under your skin and masquerade as your identity, as if it was your ideas that was coming out of your mouth and the good things you were doing that are not really good, but you think they are. And if you do not know what has come over you lately, and you're not yourself anymore, you've said that to yourself, you listen on. Such attachments form through the way you overreact. You can identify this reaction as the ever so subtle resentment behind every emotional upset. Listen carefully for that. The emotional upset that you think is normal is killing you. And it's in the anger that you feel towards other people, weaker than yourself, projects to them. And we do unto others what was done to us quite unconsciously. I want to make you conscious. All right, we're going to take a call from London. It's Heather. Hello, Heather.
Hello, Uncle Roy.
Oh, hello, young lady.
Oh, I like that. happy birthday for earlier in the month.
Oh, yes, thank you so much.
I think perhaps Uncle Roy, I'll just take a few moments to talk to your audience and encourage them to support you.
Yes, that would be nice.
Okay.
I'm not very good at it.
Ladies and gentlemen, many years ago when I first started listening to Uncle Roy, the reason I could hear him, apart from the fact that I was led to hear him, was because somebody or some other people had generously donated money to the foundation to enable his program to be on the air, on what was then called pirate radio.
Yes, right. I remember.
The reason you can hear Roy now is because generous people that you may never know have donated funds because they have been helped. I would very much encourage you to do that at this time when it is very much needed, not just in, well, obviously in your country from what I hear, but all over the world. What, as well as, the American for what you can do is auto debit. We call it direct debit over here. That would be good. And the other thing I wanted to say is if you go on the website, there is a wealth of material there. Whatever your issue is, there'll be something there.
Hold the line a minute, Heather. Okay, go ahead, Heather.
Yes, I just wanted to mention one particular set of materials, which I have on old-fashioned cassette tape called Overcoming Judgment and Anger. It's a three-part set, and I can really recommend it.
Well, you're talking about cassettes that went out of style a long time ago, but you still love it.
Oh, yes, and I think it's probably now available on either CD or... I don't know exactly. I would imagine it's available on CD or download.
Well, I would like to remind my audience in England that they were no longer doing a program from the canal, what is it called, the canal over there between England and France?
The English Channel.
English Channel, that's it. And so, the Dutch fleet came and smashed it all to pieces. And so I wasn't on the radio for a long time, but we are there now in London.
Oh, sure. And you're available on the web 24/7.
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
Mm.
Well, I understand that you've done very good and you've been a very good caller on this program and made it lively and meaningful. I do appreciate you calling. And I'll go back to, unless you have a question, I'll go back to what I was doing.
I was listening to your last hour about you're talking about excuses.
Yes.
And excuse making.
Yes.
And, I was thinking as I was listening to you about the difference between an excuse and a reason for something, and I just wanted to see if I'm getting it here, Roy. If an excuse is a lie, is it a lie that's kind of masquerading as a reason?
Let me explain it to you. You're a Christian lady, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's say you lived in Nazi... There's such a thing as a good lie.
Right.
And I'll give you an example. So you are in Germany and the bad guys are coming after Jews to kill them. And you're a Christian lady and you're hiding them in the cellar. And then the bad guys knock on your door. So you have seen Mr. Cohen and Mrs. Cohen and the kids? And you say, oh, yes, they were just here a little while ago, and they went down that way.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Mr. Ponsonbury. See, so that's if you were told the truth, that would be evil. You lie to save somebody's life.
Okay, so it's about that having...
Not to lie is evil. And you can't say, I'm a Christian, I can't lie. Because...
No, because that's being rigid.
That's being wicked.
Yes.
That's being a liar.
Right.
See? That's really, really wicked. And so, to say that they went down the street just a little while ago, you can catch up with them. That is a blessing. You're saving someone's life against evil. But now we come to the excuses. Excuse is that will kill you. And it does, the minute you start to make excuses, that excuse is given to you by the dark side. And it's always the same to a kid. For all the kids that are there, when they steal money from the dad's night table, something says to them and pulls them towards that. He won't know. It's only a quarter, and you could buy your little airplane. And so when daddy comes into the room, and he says, "Did you find that quarter on my bedside?" Yeah. No, Dad. Johnny made me do it. If that father lets it go, if he punishes harshly, it becomes worse. But if he doesn't say anything, it becomes worse. But if he says, "Look, son, I know what you're doing. I know you feel guilty, and you don't want to do that. I'm okay with it. Just say what you need to say, and I'll let it go." And the kid will come forward and say that, and that is the way you correct his whole future. See? But the average person doesn't get the chance to understand what I just said. And so the other people, other elements and entities live through us all the time, make us do something wrong, and then gives us excuses. And when the excuses are not sufficient enough, you look for people to help you to give you an excuse, the better ones than you got. See that? And so the excuse becomes a way of salvation. In other words, you forget what you did wrong. My wife has the problem of forgetting what she did wrong, as if it was no guilt. That's the way she gets rid of the guilt, by forgetting it. Immediately. Just forgetting it, but you see what's happening. And the truth of the matter is, if you keep adding lies to lies, excuses to excuses, it becomes a whole way of life. So you can never have any real answers, because you're all muddled up inside yourself with excuses. Because the one excuse adds to another and another and another until your whole life is an excuse and completely lost.
I see.
That's how dangerous it is.
I'm sorry?
That's how dangerous it is.
Yes. And the 7-minute meditation gets us to a place where we can see the excuses.
Yes, you see it, they go away. And you apologize, if it's possible. If it's
necessary. Yes. Yes. When I last spoke to you, I was having a problem with my mother.
Yes.
And
how's the old girl doing? How's the old girl doing?
Oh, she's doing all right, actually. As far as I'm aware, what's happened is that yes. I had a very bad time, but I've come through it, and as a result of that, I have had some very nice conversations with my mother.
That's good.
Because I was made aware, to use one of your phrases, that I was standing in her shoes.
Yes.
And when I realized that I was, in fact, sort of parenting my mother in exactly the same way she had been parenting me.
Yes, yes.
I sat down with her, and I talked to her about it. I apologized for hating her.
Yes, yes.
But how can I put this? I didn't struggle to make her understand what I was saying.
I like that.
I I've had similar conversations where I've said similar things, but I've been kind of a bit more, how can I put it? Relaxed about the outcome.
I like it very much. I got another caller. I got to say goodbye to you. It was wonderful hearing from you. But I have some callers waiting. Oh, hello. We do have another caller, do we? David? Okay, well, to take him, I just want to continue what Heather said. Ladies and gentlemen, juveniles and crocodiles, please support Roy Masters, that's me. I want to stay on the radio, and I want to be here till I'm 100, and that's not too far away. And then, I don't know what's going to happen, but you hear a lot of me, maybe some of David, who is beginning to understand the things that I've said more deeply. He's a pretty sharp cookie. And about this, that's the only one that could really do it because all the others going in different directions in their businesses. So, but you will hear my programs. He will put my programs on the air and make some comments to it to make it, you know, make it more interesting, which he can do. But you'll hear me long after I'm gone. I know where I'm going. And I'm not afraid of death. So, anyway, I just wanted to say that. But meanwhile, while I'm still cooking and still myself, and I love what I'm doing, the more I have to give, the more I have to give, the more I'm given to give. I just wish I could do this all day. Of course, that's not possible. I guess it is, but, you know, I have to take care of my wife and things like that. So here I am every night, 2 hours. And actually, it's 3 hours because the first hour always trails the second hour. So it's really a three-hour show. So if you missed the first hour, after this hour, you've got an extra opportunity to listen. If you want to go to my website and make it the place where you go, If the station sort of only gives it to you on Sundays, you know, because the stations give me time at different times of the day, they do take it, but they don't always take it at this time. So if you want to hear my program, you go to FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding, and then the minute you come to the website, you'll see Roy Masters, you know, live. Or archive, either one. So you don't have to sit up in the middle of the night waiting for it. And you can shut it down and put it back on any time you want until the next day. It goes 22 hours after that. So it keeps repeating itself. You won't get the program from the beginning. You'll get it wherever it is. And then it rotates and rotates until all of it is consumed and starts again. All right, so support this program because it costs a lot of money to stay on the air. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. I have a special for you. When you get this, when you go call my office, 800-877-3227, daytime, 8 o'clock to 5 every day, Monday through Friday, West Coast time. If you ask for the 7-minute meditation for $9.95, you get the whole kit and caboodle. You get everything I've got.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, so we got callers. I love callers. I look for bright people calling. It's delightful to meet you on the radio. All right, we're going to go to Doug. Hello, Doug. What can I do for you?
Hey, Roy. How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Good, good. I've called two or three nights ago. Just wanted to ask you, Roy, and I know that, I don't know. Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
As far as knowing what you were just saying as I was on hold,
yes.
As far as knowing you know exactly where you're going and there's no doubt.
No doubt.
Let me ask you a question. Is there anyone on this planet that doesn't have just a smidge of doubt about where they're going, or have they done enough?
No, I don't know everybody on the planet.
Well, how about you?
How about myself?
Are you absolutely 110% absolute sure there's nothing that's going to keep you from going where you think you're going to go?
I don't know where I'm going. I have to tell you.
Does the doubt ever enter into your mind, Roy, that perhaps you haven't done enough?
No.
No?
I can only do what I'm shown. And then I have to wait.
And what?
I can only do what is given me to that moment.
Right.
And I wait for the moment to come natural. So if you pressure me, my tendency is not to be bothered by your pressure, because if I give you into the pressure, I'm giving into your will and losing the will of my Creator's purpose for me. So when the pressure comes, it's all the more reason to stand your ground and wait for it to pass. Even if it never passes, you endure it with calm patience. So if you're in prison or jail, or in situations which are very bad, and the future doesn't look, I will not be touched by it. If I never see my family again, and that is the way it is meant, I will not be disturbed by it, because being disturbed does not help it. It only makes me more foolish. I learned to trial and tribulation is part of life. And the earlier you start, the stronger you become. You know, my son David is very good on the surfboard, and I've tried standing on it because I'm not interested in that game. But I'm good at swimming and stuff like that. But when I tried to go on the surfboard, I could not stand on it, even in a tiny little wave lapping over the top of the board. But then I look at the drive of a person who loves to come down a big 50-foot wave. They do it with effortless skill. It's effortless. Once you get a sense of what it and love it, so that what would otherwise would have killed me, I can ride down it on it with great pleasure. And so it is with life. If you do the little things right, the bigger things become easier until there's no effort at all. I mean, you become a person, when people look at you and say, how do you do this? I say, how else would you do it? Well, how would you do this when I'm careering down a 50-foot wave? I just can. It's no big deal. It's just practice makes perfect. And so you're only required the little things to begin with. But as you become saturated with the little things, growing upon little things, becoming a big thing in your relationship, the big skills, so that he can give you a big wave to come down on with great fun. It's a much more wonderful opportunity. It's almost like magic happens. In the beginning, it's just it happens. I can tell you things you can't believe what happened to me. It's not possible for things to happen the way they do. There's no chance in billions what happens to me in my life. And I don't understand the magic of it. I know the magic is there, but I'm not the magician. I don't know how to explain this, but it's beautiful. You know, how can I say it? I know I've been in hospital lots of times, and really there was nothing really wrong with me, except they started cutting up on me, and there was things wrong with me. And they really didn't know what they were doing, And many times I almost died from the fact that I didn't have much of a problem. And so, but time and time again, operations, again and again, pieces taken out, and I'm not getting any worse, I'm not getting any better, but wow, the first thing that happens is I had a bypass surgery, and I had a symptom as if I was having another one after that. But it wasn't the case. It wasn't the case. It was another problem in my bladder, which was operated on, and it blew up so much it created traces of chemistry that symbolize a heart attack, which it wasn't. It was just a problem of my prostate and bladder. It was terribly dangerous, causing me to collapse. But then, thinking that I had another heart attack, I'm going through the operation, and they put the little thing inside there, up to my heart. I don't know what you call it. And the doctor says, I've got two things. You want to know what happened to you? He says, well, your bypass failed. So I said, okay. It didn't disturb me. And he says, you want the good news? He said, yes. I said, yes. You grew new arteries. How did I do that? This is the beginning of wonders. This was the beginning of wonders up to this moment. And so when I asked the question, why me? Why me? I found out the reason, how it could be everybody. Which I won't go into talking about that tonight. But my journey was through the medical system. Just like Jesus had to go through his trials and tribulations, I went through hell. But I'm looking at myself today. I'm strong as a horse. Every part of me is reconstituted. Everything has been regenerated. My blood pressure, as an old man, is 110 over 60. With a 60 pulse. Go figure it. I can swim 2-3 miles. I'm getting ready my pool right now to do it. So what I'm trying to say to you, I have gone through the world never being frustrated, never being upset, always watching and experience trial and tribulation and pain and thousands of different ways, and not reacting to it. I've grown. I've grown strong. And I've become closer to my Creator and closer to my death. It's okay. Because I know there's an extension. Jesus did it. He said there's something beyond life. People have always wondered about that and believed it, but he made the point. Suffering. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That's how I see things. I don't hate the hurter. Let them do the worst. That's all you need to learn. It doesn't cost any more. Let God make the journey. Let God give you the time and place for saying something or not. That's all. Can you understand that, my friend? Are you there, Doug? I think we've had some trouble today. David, are you there? Oh, did he fall off or fall asleep or something? Oh, why is that? It was interesting. Oh, really? I wish you would. Why didn't you let him on? Well, that's all right. I would have loved to go. I would have enjoyed that, Mark. You sure? Well, I'd just take it from you, but I would. All right, to screen the caller. I apologize to the gentleman. I see what David said, but I still would have liked to cross swords with him just a little bit to give me the patience to make the point. I understand there will be pressure to people on me. I get that. I'm all right with it. I was talking that pressure is okay with it. You can disagree all you want. And if it becomes unnecessarily or foolish, then we can take him off the air. But otherwise, I would have liked to do that. I just want you to understand. So I do hope the point is being made about faith. It never wavers. And when you have upside-down faith, which is doubt, it doesn't waver either. Okay, now we're going to go to Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer, in Boston.
Hi, Roy.
Hello.
Hi. I don't know if David told you or you see on the screen, but I resent my husband.
Okay.
And I know I do.
Oh, dear.
I don't want to.
Yes.
And I struggle with it.
Does he give you a reason to?
I don't feel like he's a leader. I don't feel the love from
him. He's weak, in other words.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I don't want to hate him, but I can't teach him anymore. I think for most of my life I've been teaching him.
I don't think you can.
I know.
I think teaching is a wrong word.
I know.
It's the not appropriate approach.
We got together. We got married for, under the wrong circumstances.
Yes, I get it.
And I'm kind of starting to wake up.
You have children?
And meditating. We have 5 children, yeah.
I think you need to plow the course.
What do I need to do?
Yes, you need to keep going and not hate your husband.
I know.
And don't service him so much, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I've kind of distanced myself in that way.
Just back up off the sex.
I have.
That's good. And let him, I was going to say something, but it sounded awful. But just let him, just leave him alone. But don't hate him. He can't help himself.
If
you give him pleasure, you only make him weaker for you.
I know, I understand.
Or meaner, one of the two.
Yeah, I know that, and I understand that.
So, for the sake of your children, because your husband is weak, you need to take the masculine quality. Women have the power, temporary power, as the man, if you love your Creator. And if you love your Creator, you will not be angry at your husband, nor will you service him, because servicing him with love and, sex and giving him that is only going to weaken him more for you and cause more hate towards him, because he becomes less and you become more angry.
Right.
And the more angry you are, the more you make him a weasel, a weakling.
I feel like we go through these phases where things are okay for a while and then they're not.
Well, what you need to do is make it okay for always.
Yeah.
By stop resenting him, because he cannot help it. He does not see what you're saying.
Yeah. And
so the best way he can see it is for you not to have any anger. Because when you're angry, you cloud his reason. You cause him to be weaker for you, and cause you to be more hateful for that, because you so badly want him to be a man and say no to you.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
I just, he just hounds me and tries to find out, what's wrong, what did I do?
But all you need to say is very simple. We're married, and we have children, and you're not, how can you say this? You're not a strong man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what a woman wants.
Yeah.
You just want to give in to me every time for me to give you a sense of worth. I cannot do this.
Yeah.
You're asking me for the dangerous impossible.
I don't want to
be an Eve. I don't want to rise up to you and give you and make you feel better than you deserve.
Yeah, okay.
But you need, but at the same time as you're talking to him, you need to drop the anger. And then he comes back at you. Say, look, I've said enough. You want something. I want you to be a man, in order for that to happen, I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to be angry. I'm just going to leave you alone until you see what's necessary for what I want from you. I want you to, and I want you to say no I don't want you to nag me like you make me your mommy.
Yeah.
See that? Right. I don't want that.
Right.
And you let him know. I said, now would you like, what would you like for dinner? And let it go. When he starts to pull on you, don't react to it. Just look at him and gently push him aside without anger. He may get the idea men are very clever, brilliantly, they have a mind different from a woman, and without you having to teach him, he will come about or the answer or by himself, if you will just do that. Okay, we'll be right back. Don't go.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
It's very difficult, Jennifer, to teach a woman to help a man to be a man.
Yeah.
You see, that's the job you've got.
Yeah.
It's his job to make sure you're a real person, a real woman, and you've left Eve behind.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs to find God, and that's what you need to say to him. I am Eve, and if you're weak, I eat you alive. I don't want to do that. I can't help myself. But if you will just sit quietly and meditate for a little while, the tables will be turned, and you will be gentle and like the man, patient, calm, not upset by what he says. And if you just do that, he would be looking at what he should be.
Mm-hmm.
And men, if you get upset and act out like a woman, an angry woman,
yeah,
a frustrated woman, then all it does is frustrate him more.
Right.
So you really must be him, which is good for every woman to be that, to be patient, calm, and no matter what he says, when he crawls towards you to want something, say, go away, please. I don't like you pulling on me. Thank you. You're not. That's not manly. You have words to say, but you don't have to have anger with it. That will work.
I tend to shut
down. Time he wake up. Yes, he could wake up.
Yeah.
Because that's what love is all about. It's not like it's billing and cooing. It's not.
Yeah.
That's not real love. Is what I'm just describing. Can you stand this person who you've married?
Well, I know that, and I feel like we've experienced that at points.
A little bit. It needs to be permanent.
Right.
It needs to be permanent until he wakes up one morning, and then all of a sudden he takes the role, and you sit back and enjoy being the his masterful way and your gracious way to the master.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
No, I find that I resent him for the things that he does, the things that he doesn't do.
Yes, because you're so angry, you just can't help but vent yourself towards him.
Yeah.
It's not
good. We have five small children.
And you affect all the children.
Right. You know, I just want the help from him with discipline and with...
You know, you don't need help from him because you got a creator. You have a God. So in default of him, you now inherit the ability to do to him what he should be doing to you. And that will last maybe several years.
Yeah.
But at some point he will wake up. And you can take your appropriate role.
So do I keep myself distance from him in the meantime?
Well, gentle. No, you don't want distance.
Like
meaning distance as measurement. It's a distance meaning no reaction, no anger, understanding he cannot help himself.
But being patient
with him as a mature person.
Intimate distance.
Intimate, yes.
Okay.
Intimate, yes.
Okay.
There is another answer to that, but I don't think I'd like to tell you.
Okay.
It means that you can have you can be intimate with him, but you don't pretend to enjoy it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I've heard that before. Yeah, I've heard
that. So it doesn't give him any pleasure.
Right.
See, and he feels uncomfortable doing it.
Yeah.
And he backs away.
Okay.
So there's all, there's little tricks. I don't know if that's a good word. There's little wisdoms. You meditate, you'll see it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you so much. You're like my dad.
Call me again. Call me again anytime you want to.
Thank you, Roy.
You were, maybe you should have him call me. I'll kick his butt for you.
Actually, he has called a few times. And then.
Why don't you call both of you together?
Yeah, we could do that. Marriage.
Would you do that tomorrow or next day?
I would. I'll ask him. He doesn't like what you have to say sometimes.
Oh.
He might hang up.
Okay. So then you have to do it on your own then.
Yeah.
It's your job.
Okay.
Listen, I got a problem, the same thing. Everybody has problems with each other, and you have to be very, very patient because anger multiplies everything.
Yeah.
The more angry you get, the more frustrated he is, the more weasel he is, the more he feels guilty and he wants more, he wants your love from you. He'll do anything for your love, or they become angry and nag you for what he wants. And then you get angry and he gets angry. It never stops.
I know, it's a vicious cycle.
A vicious cycle. So you stop right there. I said something to my daughter one time. It was with Luke. He was about 7 years old. And he said, he keeps yelling, he wants this, he wants this. I said, Aunt Diane, this is what you do. So when he starts one of his shenanigans, you sit down and let him yell and scream and call you all kinds of names. Let him vent it. Let him get it all off his chest so there's nothing left. So several hours go by, and she sits there. All of a sudden, he starts to snivel and sob a little bit. He says, he puts his arm around his mother. He says, Mother, I don't know what came into me. That's the key.
That's sweet.
Okay?
Could I just say one more thing?
Yes.
I've listened to you for the first hour and a half of the show, and something in me, you know, I wanted to call, but I was so nervous. But I just said, you know what? Shut up. Just call.
That's sweet.
And I just wanted to say that on the radio, so if anyone else is feeling the same thing.
Yes, there's always a little fear.
Yeah.
The dark side of you doesn't want you to hear me, have you know, directly.
Right.
It's nice
I wanted some light on that.
Yeah, you can actually hear me, but it can reject it. But when you call me, there's a much greater force, isn't there?
Right.
Yes, a good force.
Yes.
And that's what the dark side is afraid of.
I know.
And that's what, but it's not your fear, it's his fear.
Right.
It's a big difference.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you, Roy.
You're welcome. Let me put it this way. We got, it's time. It's time to say goodbye to all our company. I know, one more minute. Would you please get a copy of 7-Minute Meditation? I told them this evening, they give you a CD, but you might as well take the whole kit and caboodle, have everything for $9.95. That's what they did. So instead of paying $10 for the 7-Minute Meditation, you get everything. So you call the office, we can download it. You can download it or the meditation on a CD, whichever you want. Okay, we'll be right back.